The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Later that day, Jesus left the house and sat down by the lake shore. Such great crowds gathered that he went and took a seat in a boat, while the crowd stood along the shore. He addressed them at length in parables. One day, a farmer went out sowing seed. Some of the seed landed on a footpath, where birds came and ate it up. Some of the seed fell on rocky ground, where there was little soil. This seed sprouted at once, since the soil had no depth. But when the sun rose and scorched it, it withered away for lack of roots. Again, some of the seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it. And some of it landed on good soil and yielded a crop 30, 60, even 100 times what was sown. Let those who have ears to hear, hear this. When the disciples came to Jesus, they asked, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" Jesus answered, "The secrets of the kingdom of heaven are for you to know, but not for them. To those who have, more will be given until they have an abundance. Those who have not will lose what little they have. I use parables when I speak to the people because they look, but do not see. They listen, but do not hear or understand. Isaiah's prophecy is being fulfilled in them, which says, 'You will be ever listening, but never understanding. You will be ever looking, but never perceiving.' For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and turn back to me, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, because they see, and your ears, because they hear. The truth is, many prophets and holy people long to see what you see, but never saw it, to hear what you hear, but never heard it. Now listen to the parable of the sower. When people hear the message about the kingdom of God without understanding, the evil one comes along and snatches away what was sown in their hearts. This is the seed sown along the path. Those who received the seed that fell on rocky ground are the ones who hear the word and at first welcome it with joy, but they have no roots, so they last only for a while. When some setback or persecution comes because of the message, they quickly fall away. Those who receive the message that fell among the thorns are the ones who hear the word, but then worldly anxieties and the lure of wealth choke it off, and the message produces no fruit. But those who receive the seed that fell on rich soil are those who hear the message and understand it. They produce a crop that yields 100 or 60 or 30 times what was sown. The good news of salvation. Today we hear the first of several parables that we'll be hearing over the next few weeks. Jesus says that he speaks to the crowd in parables so that those who understand will learn more about the mysteries of God's kingdom. These mysteries center on Jesus' words and actions such that those who understand the parables will follow his example. The Greek word for understanding means to bring things together in your mind, to let something land deeply enough to change how you live. It is an opening of one's heart to God's grace working within them, and it sparks us into action. A major theme of the parable of the sower and the seeds in Matthew's time was the mystery of the rejection and acceptance of Jesus' words about the kingdom of God. At the time, the community was grappling with why some people accepted the gospel and others rejected it. The interpretation of the parable provides three reasons why someone might reject following Jesus' example of how to live. These reasons look for security in the world first, instead of in the kingdom first, reversing the priorities taught by Jesus. One commentary I read noted that the crowds who did not understand the parables were not judged. It was more of a response of compassion, because they had isolated themselves from what Jesus wanted to give them more than anything, which is healing. And he wants to bring us healing as well. It is not only that we are listening about how people in Matthew's time reacted to Jesus' life and teaching. It is that inside each of us, all these soils are present. It's about which ones we nurture. It's our responsibility to cultivate our receptivity, to open ourselves to receiving God's gift of revealing the mysteries of the kingdom. Like God, the sower sees the ground that is not as hospitable and makes a choice to sow anyway, for they know what's coming next. The path is hardened from being walked on over and over, ruts created from habitual responses or actions which have led us away from God. Thorns are those distractions that pull our attention in many directions. But these are systemic, not personal issues. Jesus is naming these obstacles, not blaming or condemning the people for them. Naming is an important part of recognizing what's going on and being able to make a conscious choice. And these obstacles are not the end of the story. The ground is not a guarantee of what happens to the seed. When a sower was sowing seeds in New Testament times, they typically would scatter them in the field as described in the parable, tossing seed everywhere, regardless of the current soil conditions. It might seemingly be wasteful, but it was only the start of the practice. Jesus does not include the next step in the parable, which would be plowing the soil. If the ground is plowed, the seed will have a greater chance of growing deeper roots and producing good fruit. The plow turns up the soil, loosening the soil of the path and dislodging the rocks and the thorns roots that are in the way. Thus, all soils have the opportunity to become good soil and produce fruit if they are tended to. What a hopeful statement. We have hope in God's generosity in scattering seeds everywhere. Of Jesus is our divine healer who comes to plow the soil, who has confidence that his ministry will bear fruit, even if he would not see it while still in human form. And it's a reminder to us that we need not be concerned about the immediacy of seeing results of our spreading the good news, for it will bear abundant fruit in God's time. And the abundance of the harvest is not ranked. Jesus does not say that 100 times harvest is better than a 60 or a 31. All are abundant harvests, and all are the result of good soil. We are not to compare ourselves to others, nor even to our own self on another day or in a different stage of life. Paul Dayzet writes, Jesus says 30 times is good soil, not almost good soil, good soil. The sower receives the 30 times harvest with the same joy as the 100 one. So I invite you to take some time this week to think about how you cultivate fertile soil within yourself, to become receptive to the seeds God is scattering. Praying and examination of conscience might help illuminate these places. So if you're interested, I put some handouts on the table in the narthex, and we have it that we can send to those on Zoom. It's an examine that has an ecological focus to examine our relationship with creation, reflecting on questions such as, what challenges or joys do I experience as I recall my care for creation? And where have I fallen short in caring for creation and my brothers and sisters? And then praying about what action we can take to reconcile our relationship with God, creation, and humanity. And on the back, I also included Pope Francis's A Prayer for Our Earth, if you'd like to end with that prayer. True understanding of parables leads us to take action. Dayzet writes that God as the sower has never looked at a field and said, it's not worth scattering seed here. God generously and extravagantly sows seeds everywhere. And it's our responsibility to tend to the soil within us, so that these seeds can grow strong roots. It's not just our initial response that's important. It's how we pattern our life to incorporate Jesus' teachings and to persevere against what comes in the way of that. It's not our job to worry about the abundance of fruit we are producing. It's for us to tend to the soil so that we are opening ourselves to receive God's grace and Jesus' teachings. Tending to the soil of our spiritual lives includes our whole self and all our experiences, since everything about us is enfolded within God's care and concern. Therefore, we need to take time to notice and name what's happening in our lives and discern where God is calling us to spend our energy and resources. Tending the soil also involves time for prayer, availability and responsiveness to those in need, sharing our God-given gifts with each other and all of creation, and doing it with enthusiasm, presence, and love. And so I invite you to ask yourself, how will I, lovingly and with much grace, tend to my soil each day?